Okay, so good morning, everyone. And I know this is an incredibly strange start to the semester, but in Yirtzeh Hashem, at least we have the opportunity to learn together, to learn in person. If we have three satellite locations, this classroom, that classroom, and Zoom. It's an incredible school to be able to learn with all of you. So here is what I'd like to be able to accomplish over the course of this year. In Yirtzeh Hashem, I'm going to hand out the syllabus. You didn't get the syllabus yet, did you? Okay, so in Yirtzeh Hashem, next class, we'll have that ready and we can go over that as well. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. I hope the beginning of your academic year so far has been good and successful. In Yirtzeh Hashem, over the course of this semester, we are going to study Perek Shira. So in addition to teaching you Perek Shira, in Yirtzeh Hashem, I hope to get to know all of you. And of course, I'm here to be a resource to you, not just in this class, but if there's anything else I could help with, in Yirtzeh Hashem, starting Wednesday, I'll be here for a half hour after class as well, for meetings, for whatever guidance anyone would like. More information on that later on. You're going to have to give me a little bit of time to, Yirtzeh Hashem, remember your names. I'm not great with memory, remembering names in general. Masks makes everything much more complicated. Three locations makes everything even more complicated. So if I ask you your name on multiple occasions, it's not chas v'shalom because I'm not paying attention or don't care about each of you, but just takes a little bit of time. So we're going to study Perek Shira. And have any of you ever studied Perek Shira before? Okay, excellent, great. So I'm sure some of you have said Perek Shira before, but as we're going to see, saying Perek Shira versus learning Perek Shira are two very incredibly different things. So today, I really want to start introduction. We'll probably actually spend 2 days, two classes on the intro to Perek Shira, because like anything, you know, people, you know, they say whenever you read a book, what's the most important part of any book? Most important part?
Ever silver?
Yes.
Can't hear so clearly.
Okay, I'm not sure what to do about that. Let me try this. Give me 1 second. Is that a little better? Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'll speak louder. I'm sorry. I'll sit a little angled this way, get to see all of you as well. All right, so as I was mentioning before, the most important part of any great work of literature is the introduction. What do you learn in the introduction of a book? I'm sure you've read books. What do you generally learn in the introduction? I'm sorry?
Background.
Good. What else? Background about what? The author. Good. What else? Background about the book, right? In other words, you learn background about who wrote this, why this person wrote this, and what was the goal of writing this particular work. So Perek Shira is no different. Now, the introduction to Perek Shira is actually quite amazing, as we're going to see. For example, I'll give you, does the Torah have an introduction? What's the introduction of the Torah? Bereishis. Bereishis. How do we know that Bereishis is an introduction? Because Rashi HaKadosh, remember again, Rashi is bothered by the whole entire Genesis narrative, by the entire story of creation. Why is Rashi bothered by it? Because Rashi says, what is this doing here? Do we need this? Remember, first Rashi in Chumash, Rashi says, no one really understands anyway the story of creation. No one really understands what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something from nothing. We can't comprehend that. We don't understand creation of an entire universe in 6 days. We don't understand so many things about the Genesis narrative, about the story of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Yet, we still read it. So Rashi explains why is there read it. So Rashi gives a number of different answers to show that the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire world was created for Torah, for Klal Yisrael. But you see that even the Torah Kedosha gives us an introduction in order to properly frame the rest of the Torah narrative. So with that, take a look at number one on your sheet. So this is the Hakdama. This is the introduction to Perek Shira. And in fact, oh yeah, did everybody get sheets? Sorry, they went around. This should be... Thank you. So let's take a look at this Hakdama together. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer. Rabbi Eliezer, the great one, says, Kala Osek BePerek Shira B'Chol Yom. Whoever learns Perek Shira each and every day, Me'id Ani Alov Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Literally, again, I testify about him that he has a portion of the world to come. V'nitzol mipegara, he will be saved from any negative or detrimental encounters. Mi'etzahara, mi'din kasha, difficult judgment. Satan, or mikomene mashchis. I'm sorry. Ramesh, okay, good. I'm getting in my steps. This is great. Okay. Chavra on Zoom, you have sheets? They sent yes, no, some.
Yeah.
You do? They sent it out?
Yes.
Okay. So I see some people are shaking their head no. So maybe those of you who have it electronically could send it to those who don't. Okay. Good. Hakdama Perek Shira. So Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol says, whoever learns Perek Shira, great things in store for such a person. He's a Ben Olam Haba. He's saved from negative encounters, saved from the Yitzhahara, Din Kasha, saved from difficult judgment, Misatan, Umikol Mine Mashchis Umazikin. What does that mean? Umikol Mine Mashchis Umazikin? How would you translate that? Good. Saved from all types of destruction and harm. So, first of all, what's striking about this introduction? Well said. I've never said Perek Shira in my life. And now, what are you going to do after this class? You're going to say it every day. Excellent. Incredible. Meaning, I just want to point something out that you don't find this type of introduction to any other book. Now, the reason I say book is because, remember, Perek Shira is not part of Tanakh. Perek Shira is certainly not part of Torah Shebichsav. What Perek Shira is, we're going to have to discuss. Like, where does it fall? I guess, of course, you could call it part of Torah Shebal Peh. But the truth is, nowhere else do you find an introduction like this to any other book. And this is incredibly important. Meaning, even if you look, for example, many of the Mefarshim have their introductions to the various Chumashim or Sifrei Tanakh. So the Malbim has introduction, the Radak has his introduction, the Chizkuni has introduction. No one ever has an introduction that says, you know, if you learn Chumash Bereishis, by the way, you're going to be Ben Olam Haba, you're going to be saved from negative encounters, saved from Yirei Tzahara, saved from difficult judgment, from the Satan, from all types of... We don't find that. Yet, by Perek Shira, we find this dramatic introduction. Gemar b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafsha lasos turachai. Literally, again, commit or learn with all of your heart, all of your soul, to know my ways. V'lishmar dal sosai heichali b'sarasi. Lishmar mitzosai v'chukai. So, okay, he goes on and on and on. Go on. Let's now skip a little bit to paragraph, to source number two. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Kala osek b'perek shira ba'olam hazeh. Whoever learns Perek Shira in this world, Zoche Lilmod Ulelamed Lishmor Velasos Ulekayin, will be privileged to learn, to teach, to keep, to uphold, and to perform. V'tamudo Miskayin Biado, and you will not forget anything that you learn. V'nitzol Mi Yetzahara, Mi Pegara, Mi Chibot HaKever. You're going to be saved from your Yetzahara. You're going to be saved from Pegara, again, negative encounters. Chibot HaKever. Chibot HaKever, again, we're actually going to get into it. Literally, what does anyone know? Does anyone recognize that phrase, Chibot HaKever? The English translation over here is not going to help you all that much. I'm sorry? The turning in the grave. Excellent. This is the idea, and again, we'll actually discuss this in different contexts, but this is the idea that apparently when a person dies and the body is buried, there's some level of discomfort that the body experiences in the grave. Now, we don't know exactly what this means because remember, it can't literally mean physical discomfort because there's no physical discomfort after you're dead. There's some type of kapara that takes place with the body after it's placed in the grave. It's called chibot hakever. Medina shel gehenom, you're saved from the judgment of gehenom. Mechevlo shel mashiach, from the difficulties which precede the messianic era. Umarich yamim, you will enjoy longevity of days. Vezocha limos hamashiach ulechaye haolam haba. And you'll be privileged to see the days of Mashiach and eternal life in the world to come. So another incredible, incredible hakdama. So again, you begin to see over and over and over the power of Perek Shira. That not only is Perek Shira a wonderfully important, beautiful, uplifting sefer, as we're going to see, but look at all of the reward that is associated with it. Learn Perek Shira, Olam Haba, Mashiach, saved from Yetzer Hara, saved from negative interactions, saved from destructiveness, Chibot HaKever, Chevle Mashiach, incredible. Now what's your obvious question? I'm sorry? So first of all, why is it not more? I want to point out Perek Shira. I think Perek Shira is becoming more popular today. But I don't know, growing up, I didn't know anyone who was saying Perek Shira, to be honest. So first of all, with such schar, why is it not more well known? What else? I'm sure some of you have just seen Perek Shira, yes?
I don't know for sure, but I'm just going to guess that people who do read Perek Shira every day don't necessarily see all these things coming
together. We're going to see, by the way, we're going to learn Perek Shira together. And like most things in Torah, you can learn it on a superficial level, you can learn it on a deeper level. When you learn it on a superficial level, I'm good. What is Perek Shira about? Learning from nature about Hashem. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. We're going to see all the different parts of nature speak, and they seemingly speak about the Ribono Shel Olam. But when you go through Perek Shira, if you were to just read, if you were to go home today and just read Perek Shira, it'd be very difficult to understand why the Hakdama says what it says. Because although Perek Shira is beautiful and speaks all about nature, it's hard to really understand what exactly is the incredibly great power of Perek Shira that gives you all of these promises. Again, it's beautiful, it's poetic, it speaks to nature, but to understand exactly what it is that's unfolding is exceptionally difficult. So again, we're gonna have to see. I'm giving you this hakdama now because, as I said before, you always have to start with the introduction, but we're gonna try to see exactly what this means. Take a look. One more hakdama, number three. I just want to point out something else. There's also different versions of Perek Shira. What do I mean by that? As we're going to see, different versions of Perek Shira have the Perek Shira in different orders. We're going to see the differences in the order. We'll get into that. And I'll also point out that there are different hakdamas. There are different introductions. So what I'm actually quoting to you over here is from three different introductions to Perek Shira. And although they are each different, their essence is the same. What's the takeaway message? Perek Shira is good. Right? Perek Shira is good. There's a lot of bracha, a lot of great stuff that comes from just reciting Perek Shira. Look at number three. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Kala Omer Shira Zu Ba'olam Hazeh, Zocha Vi Omro Li Olam Haba. Wow, what a strong statement. Whoever says Perek Shira in this world will be privileged, Emir Hashem, to say Perek Shira in the world to come. Shene Amar, Az Yashir Moshe. Lo shar ne'emar ela yashir. Now here, this is incredible. He quotes the pasuk from Az Yashir. The pasuk says, Moshe, Az Yashir, then Moshe will sing. So remember again, all the mafarshim point this out. Az Yashir Moshe is future, right? Is asid, future. Then Moshe will sing. So remember again, in fact, many of the mafarshim point out that this future orientation of Shira is actually one of the few messianic references in Torah. How often does the Torah speak about Mashiach? How many times the Torah does it mention Mashiach? How many times? None. Right? So, excellent. The Pashat answer is none. There is one allusion. Right? The one allusion is in Parashas Vayichi, when Yaakov Avinu is giving his bracha to Yehuda, so the Pasuk to Yehuda it's Malchus, it says, Lo Yasser Shevet mi Yehuda mechokek mi bein raglav, the scepter of leadership, right, will not leave Yehuda's land. Veloi kasamim ad ki yavo Shilo, until Shilo comes, veloi yikasamim, and to him the nations will gather. According to many of the Mefarshim, Shilo is the Mashiach. Shilo is the Mashiach. So you have a reference to it. The other reference is Az Yashir. Then Moshe will sing. When will Moshe sing? A reference to Tchias HaMesim, Messianic Redemption. So again, the Akdama says, Shar lo nemar al Yashir, melamed she'asid lomar oso the asid lavo. This teaches us that in the future, we will sing with, yes?
Is it Omer meaning just saying? Because the translation is translated as engrossing and occupying.
Say it, start again.
Is it Omer? Says Perek Shira, like just the words, because the translation all say about engrosses themselves.
Right. So good. So we're going to get into that also. So that's why the English translation over here is taking a little bit of literary liberty. Omer means what? Just to say it. Just to say it. So we're going to get into that. Right? Is just saying Perek Shira enough? Is it understanding it that's required? So good. Hold on to that for just a little bit. Excellent. Excellent ta'ara. So here you have three different hakdamas, all pointing in the same general direction. Perek Shira is powerful. Those who recite Perek Shira will benefit from incredible reward. Will be saved from all types of destructive things. So now we're gonna hit the pause button on that just a little bit. So now I understand. Takeaway message: Perek Shira is powerful. Perek Shira is profound. Perek Shira has dramatic ramifications. Okay, why that is, we have no idea yet. What's so great about Perek Shira? No idea just yet. Why don't I have this introduction by any other book of Tanakh, any other book of Torah? Remains to be seen. I want to pause for a moment and now focus on the second major question. Because what's the second major question? What do you think would be when you now we're about to embark on a journey on Perek Shira. So now I just told you how important and how great Perek Shira is. We don't know why, but we just know it's great. What's the next burning question about Perek Shira? So burning, you're speechless. Right. So what do you want to know about Perek Shira? Yes. Why does learning about nature guarantee all these great things? Excellent, good.
Where does it come from?
Where's this from? Or a different way stated, who wrote it? Where? Again, you have to understand, after an introduction like this, where I'm being told that Perek Shira is so overwhelmingly amazing and so pivotally important, who wrote it? Where did it come from? And here, I want to tell you something amazing. There is a machlokes about the authorship of Perek Shira. Machlokes. Watch this. Take a look at number four. Another hakdama. So I just want to point out to you how amazing this is. You have four different hakdamas, four different versions of the introduction to Perek Shira. So look at number four. Amru Rabbosinu Zichron Levracha. So the rabbi said as follows. Al David Melech Yisrael Alav HaShalom. B'shash Hasiyim Sefer Tehillim. When David Melech finished writing Sefer Tehillim. Zacha Daito Alav. What does it mean Zacha Daito Alav? How would you translate that phrase? Zacha daito alav. He became arrogant. He got a little carried away with himself. Why? Va'amar, ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, yesh bria, shebarasa ba'olamcho, she'omeres shiros, v'sishbachos yoser mimeni. So why did David HaMelech get a little bit carried away with himself? Because what did he just accomplish? He wrote, the single most beautiful book of poetic praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing like Sefer Tehillim. There's nothing like it. How do we know there's nothing like Sefer Tehillim? I know that sounds like a strange question, right? You know what's amazing is, what do you do when you're in time of distress? Okay, so that's a little bit of a trick question. What's the first thing you do when you're in a time of distress? Good, all good answers. The first thing you should try to do in a time of distress is figure out what you can do to help your circumstances. Right? The first thing you do when you're in trouble is you figure out, what could I do? What could I do? How could I roll up my sleeves and help myself in this trouble? This is very important because I'll tell you, I was teaching this class for a couple. Every time I ask this question, it's always the same answer. This was the first time I heard someone say, cry for help. But that makes sense, right? Cry, right? Cry for help, daven, say tehillim. All true. But the first thing a Jew does when I'm in distress is hishtadlus. What can I do to help myself? Now the truth is, you could put in your hishtadlus and daven at the same time. You could put in your hishtadlus and cry at the same time. This is exceptionally important. This is going to be important as we get into Perek Shira as well. When you are in trouble, the first question you ask yourself is, what can I do to extricate myself from these difficult circumstances? What can I do to help myself? Then, of course, daven, cry, tehillim. So David HaMelech was very proud of himself, and understandably so. He had composed the most beautiful big book of prolific praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yibon l'shal olam. Yesh bria shabarasa ba'olam chashomer shiros et shach zirah meni. So David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a little bit of an arrogant statement. He says, Yibon l'shal olam, is there anything in creation which says such a beautiful praise like I do? Right? And David HaMelech assumed the answer was, no, No, who else wrote a Sefer Tehillim? Who else composed 150 chapters of the most beautiful and prolific praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So David HaMelech is very proud of himself, and understandably so, feeling very accomplished, very happy, that he has just praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu like no one has ever praised God before. This is incredible. Watch what happens. I'm in number 4, 3 lines in. Ba'os HaShah, Nezdam Melot Svardeya Achas. While David HaMelech is saying this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens? A frog comes along. A frog comes along. Va'amrlo David, al tazuach daitcha alecha. So listen to this. The frog says to David, David, don't get so carried away with yourself. Don't be so proud of yourself. Sha'ani omeres, shiros v'sishbachos yoser mimecha. Says, why shouldn't you get so carried away with yourself? Because at the end of the day, I say, Shiros v'sishbachos even more than you. The frog says, Damach, you think you're the greatest person who praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You think no one says praise like you? I'm a frog, and I say more praise than you each and every day. V'lo'od! Elo shekol shira she'ani omeres, mamsheles ani ala shloshes alofim mashalim. Not only that, says the frog, but every shira that I say, I recite ultimately again 3,000 mashalim, 3,000 parables on every single shira. Shneimar vayedaber shloshes alafim mashal vayishur b'chamish alaf. V'lo'od ela shani osek. So first of all, understand what's happening over here. What is the frog? What is the frog telling David HaMelech? First of all, is this literal? I mean, maybe. Maybe there are crazier things than talking frogs, right? You know what I'm saying? It could very well be that this is literal. Most probably, it's metaphorical. It's metaphorical. What's the metaphor? What's the message here? Tell me what's happening. David HaMelech is all proud of himself. Why? He knows Sefer Tehillim, which of course is an incredible Herculean accomplishment. The frog comes along and says to David, essentially, calm down. You're not the greatest thing. I say more shira than you. Not only that, I say mashalim. What is the frog saying to David HaMelech?
Every animal, when they speak,
beautiful. Every animal when they speak, say incredible praise. Good. What else? What else? On a grander level, what is the frog saying to David? Oh, excellent point. That's going to be something we're going to talk about. The idea that the shiros and the sishpachos that come out of nature are innate and almost like they're built in. They're innate. They're reflexive. Man's shira has to be conscious. Good. Hold on to that for a little while. We'll get to that in like 3 weeks. Yes. What else? Oh. Why are you proud of something that we do literally every day, maybe even every moment? Good. What else? What's the mussar?
There's never enough shira.
Say it a little louder.
There's never enough shira.
Oh, beautiful. There's never enough shira in the day. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I feel you. Mali pino shira kayam. Right. There's never enough shira. Good. What else? I'll tell you what I see in this, which I think is amazing. It's human nature. What do we see in life? What do you see when you go every day? What do you see in the world?
Arrogant.
I'm sorry.
People who are arrogant.
People.
Who are arrogant.
Yeah, good people are excellent. Good. What else do you see? Something positive. Good. You see a lot. You see a lot of arrogance. That is true. Unfortunately, especially in the world that we live in. What else? Let me sharpen the question a little bit. When you go out into the world, really, what you only see are your own daladamas. You see what's in front of you. That's all. And maybe if you're a little bit of a greater visionary, you see a little bit further. Maybe you see your family. Maybe you see your community. Most of us live life with blinders on. I see what's in my orbit. I see what's in my life. I see what's just in my daladamas, in my immediate proximity. But I don't really see anything more than that. See, David HaMelech comes along, and David HaMelech is not chas v'shalom being arrogant. David HaMelech was an incredibly, zacha daito could mean arrogant, but it could also just mean filled with a sense of pride, which is good. When a person accomplishes something great, they should be filled with pride. But what the frog is coming along and saying to David is, David, you only see your world. There's a whole world that is beyond you. There is a whole world that you don't even know about. There's a whole world of the animal kingdom. There's a whole world of the plant kingdom. There's a whole world of the natural universe. And they are Ovdei Hashem as well. And they sing praise, and they see the world, and they see man in ways which we cannot see ourselves. To me, this is such an incredible idea. You know, did you ever have a situation where, you know, you looked at a particular situation in one way, and then someone said something to you that opened your eyes, and you see things now in a dramatically different way? I think for many of us, this could happen even every day. I see things in a certain way, right? Often we go through life with like tunnel vision. Because again, I have my life, I have my schedule, I have my surroundings, I have my school, I have my work, I have my family, I have my friends. We see things in a certain way. And then someone says something that fundamentally opens our eyes. And I subtly begin to see things in a dramatically different way. You know, I'll give you an example of this. You know, I had to do a Bikur Cholim visit to someone in University of Maryland on Erev Shabbos. And I went to see him. And as I was coming out, there was a homeless man who was there. So, okay, I started to give him a dollar. He said, thank you so much. He said, I haven't had a normal meal in 2 days. Do you have any more you can give me? So I gave him a little extra money. And it struck me that, like, here I was, preoccupied thinking about a couple of challenges and problems. And, like, then I realized there are people who don't have regular meals every day. So sometimes you get very caught up in your own myopic narrative. I see myself, I see my life, I see my circumstances, I see my problems, and I'm totally caught up in that. And then you have an encounter which, like, opens your eyes, like, wow, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't obsess over this particular challenge. It's a challenge, but maybe I shouldn't blow it too much out of proportion, considering the fact that Baruch Hashem, my life is really excellent, my life is really great, and the major problems of life I don't have. Some problems I absolutely do have, but the major problems of life, Baruch Hashem, I don't have. So the frog is coming along to David HaMelech. You know, I want to point out, David HaMelech is not getting Musar from a frog, right? David HaMelech is getting his eyes opened by a frog. Because David, you think you know the world. And remember again, David HaMelech went through a lot in life, right? What were David HaMelech's challenges? Or his challenges? I'm sorry? His children, good. Specifically what? Avshalom, right? But even before Avshalom, he had major problems with all of his kids. Remember again, David HaMelech is dying. He's dying, right? End of Melachim Aleph. He's dying. End of Melachim Aleph. He's dying, right? Remember? I mean, you're Baruch Hashem. You must have learned Navi. What's happening when David HaMelech is on his deathbed? What? Just speak louder. Remember, you're behind mass. I'm behind plexiglass. Right? Say once more. What's happening on his deathbed? Not a trick question, I promise. His son is rebelling. Who's rebelling? Close. An Aleph ben Avshalom. Adonio ben Chagis. Adonio ben Chagis misnase limar ani emloch. Avshalom is dying. He's on his deathbed. The man can't even die in peace. Remember again, throughout his life, David HaMelech had problems with his parents. He had problems with his brothers. He had problems with his father-in-law. And that's putting it mildly. That's not normal in-law issues, right? Remember again, David HaMelech's brothers, his father-in-law want to do to him? Kill him, right? His father-in-law is Shaul. Shaul thinks David HaMelech is trying to overthrow him. He has problems again, Nebuch, a first marriage that failed. Not failed because they didn't love each other, didn't try. Failed because Shaul essentially took David's wife and gave him to another man. Gave her to another man, excuse me. David HaMelech, then the episode with Bathsheba. A whole bunch lost a child. David HaMelech again suffered with, the only problem David HaMelech didn't have was what? Only problem he didn't have? What? Who said that? What was it? Financial problems. David HaMelech, Baruch Hashem, why not? Why didn't he have financial problems? Because he was king. Right? So the good news about being king is one thing is you're wealthy. That's the only struggle he didn't have was Parnassah. Every other struggle David HaMelech had. This is incredibly important because this is not a shir on Sefer Tehillim, but I often say, if you want to understand the true profundity of Sefer Tehillim, you have to understand that the author, David HaMelech, suffered every single thing you could imagine. He had problems in Shalom Bayis, problems with his children, a child that died. He suffered from illness. He had enemies. Internal enemies in Klal Yisrael, external enemies, people who didn't like you. Remember the Gemara says, every single time David HaMelech walked into the Beis Medrash, they always asked him the same question, which was what? And remember this Gemara. That's the question. David, what's the punishment of someone who commits adultery? That's what they asked. They taunted David HaMelech every single time he walked into the Beis Medrash. Especially because there are many people who thought that he was a Rasha because of what happened with Bathsheba. It's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the union. You're right, David HaMelech was punished for what happened. That's why the baby, David and Bathsheba's first child, died in infancy. Ultimately, again, David HaMelech has a rebellion that comes from his home because of Bathsheba. But at the end of the day, he did Chilek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him. And remember again, what was the greatest proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the union of David and Bathsheba? Shlomo. What was his name according to Ribbono Shel Olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Shlomo a different name than Shlomo. Remember? Yedidya, which means the beloved one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But yet David HaMelech, can you imagine that every single time he walked into the Beis Medrash, he was taunted. He was taunted. You know what David HaMelech would respond? You know, he would respond. He would respond, you know, the punishment for adultery is Misa, is death. But you still get a chelek in Olam Haba. But the halacha of a mevayesh penei chavero berabim is ain lo chelek li Olam Haba. That's how he would respond. So David HaMelech, yeah, tzedak, it's a good response. But David HaMelech suffered with everything. So just, I'm pointing this out because David HaMelech, it's not like he lived life with blinders. He saw anything and everything. And he lived through anything and everything. But even a David HaMelech, who lived through so much, still only saw a little piece of the universe. The frog comes along and says, David, you think you've seen everything. You think you've experienced everything. But you know, there's a whole world that you don't even know about. There's a whole world of the animals. There's a whole world of nature. There is a whole unseen world that sings praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day. You don't even know about it yet. And David HaMelech sees this, and what happens? So that's the Musar. That's the Musar. So it's not that David HaMelech is like, who are you to say you get... But the frog is saying, David, here I am, a little frog. But yet I know about a whole world that you don't know about. The shiros v'sishbachos that I sing, the mashalim that I say. And this is what Perek Shir is going to really be all about. Perek Shir is opening our eyes to a world that we don't even know about. And not just the natural world. What Perek Shir is going to do is going to sensitize us to a lot of the things that we forget. And a lot of the things that we think we know but we don't really know. Perek Shir is going to open our eyes to a whole new dimension of understanding. Just like the frog comes to David HaMelech and says, you think you know everything, but you don't. I'm going to tell you about a whole bunch of stuff you don't even know. Perek Shir is going to teach us about a whole new dimension of understanding that we don't even know about. But look how the Hakdama ends. And this is incredible. So the frog Musar goes on. Take a look at the last three lines of number four, the end of the third to last line. V'lo od, not only that, Ela sha'ani osekes v'mitzvah gidola. So the frog says to David, not only do I say more shiros v'sishbachos than you each and every day? Not only that, but I perform a dramatic act of mesiras nefesh. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Elo sheni osekes b'mitzvah gidola. David, I perform an incredible mitzvah each and every day. Or I'm engaged in a big mitzvah. V'zohi mitzvah sheni osekes ba. What's the mitzvah that I engage in? Yesh b'svas hayam min echad she'en parnasaso ki'im min hamayim. There is another great creation. We'll see what this means in just a bit. There's another great creation who is sustained only through eating other water creatures. Obishashu raif, and when this creature is hungry, notleni va'ochleni. What does it mean, notleni va'ochleni? It takes me, the frog, and what? Eats me. V'zohi mitzvah l'kayim ha'shenemar im ra'ev son acha hechilu lechem im tzamerish ke'emayim kim gichon. Fine, close the rest of the pasuk. So what's the frog's big avodah? What does the frog do? It allows itself to what? To be eaten. To be consumed, to sustain something else. So, okay, that's wonderful. What do we call that? Mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh. So says the frog to David, that you know, every single day I perform the greatest mitzvah, mitzvah gidola. What's the greatest mitzvah, something or a creation, something alive can perform? The mitzvah of mesiras nefesh. Now, what exactly that means, mitzvah, we'll see. But this is incredible, because what the frog is saying to David HaMelech is this incredible yesod, ultimately, again, of this incredible yisod of Mesiras Nefesh. The frog is saying to David, and this, by the way, says there's two messages being contained over here. Message number one, David, is there's much more to life than what you see. And by the way, this, that by itself is probably one of the most important life lessons. There is more to life than what you see. Why is this an important life lesson? What does it help you with? I'm sorry?
Being down
the kafschos. Excellent. Good. Sorry? Absolutely. Incredible. Right? So first of all, so many times in life we rush to judgment because we think we know what the story is. Right? I think I know what's happening. I could judge you. I could judge the situation. But again, the frog says, David, you think you understand the world. You don't understand the world. There's a whole dimension of understanding, a whole dimension of life that you don't even know about. So what an incredible yisod. The frog teaching David HaMelech, there is so much more to life than meets the eye. This is incredible in our interpersonal interactions and even incredible with ourselves. Because, and this is an incredible yisod. So many times in life, we think we know ourselves. We think we know ourselves. But the truth is, most of us don't really know ourselves. Not in totality. Not really. The truth is, interestingly enough, when in life do you generally learn the most about yourself?
Crisis.
Or I would say actually even a bit more. So what type of crisis? I think we learn the most about ourselves when we sin. When we commit averus is when we really learn who we really are. I learn what my weaknesses are. I learn what makes me tick. I learn what pushes me into action. Most people don't generally learn about themselves from accomplishment. Accomplishment is beautiful. You learn from yourself most in those moments of failure, which is also a form of crisis. Yes, in times of crisis, I realize that I can rise to the occasion, do something great. But I think very often in life, we begin to go and learn from ourselves. So here, so coming back for just a moment. So the frog says to David, I just want to teach you something also about life. What's the pinnacle of accomplishment in life? The pinnacle of accomplishment is Mesiras Nefesh. Is the willingness to give up of yourself, to give of yourself for the sake of some greater cause. Now the frog says, I am the paradigmatic example of Mesiras Nefesh, for I go ahead and am willing to give of myself, literally give myself, to sustain the rest of creation. So there are two messages the frog is giving David. Number one, there's so much more to life than what you see. And number two, the mitzvah gedolah, the most important thing in life, is Mesiras Nefesh. A willingness to self-sacrifice. You know, in today's day and age, so self-sacrifice is a bad word. People don't like really to be Moser Nefesh. I want to be able to go ahead and get what I want, have what I want, but not have to sacrifice anything. But that's not the way life works. Life is all about sacrifice, right? Do you make sacrifices every day? Yeah, what are the sacrifices you make every day? What are the sacrifices you make every day? I'm sorry?
Getting out of bed.
Getting out of bed. Good. What are you sacrificing? Sleep. People don't realize this. Every single time you make a decision, you're making a sacrifice, right? If you choose to eat Cheerios, you're sacrificing Frosted Flakes, right? You choose to get out of bed, you are sacrificing sleep. You choose to daven, you're sacrificing time that you could have been doing. Every single time you make a decision, you are sacrificing something. And that's why, this we're going to get into this as well, but that's why it is so important, you know, the Ramchal, the first chapter in Mesiras Yesharim, what's the first midah of the Ramchal? I'm sorry? Zehiros, excellent. Zehiros. And what does Zehiros mean? Right? Attentiveness, watchfulness. What the Ramchal highlights is, be mindful when you make your decisions. Because every single time you are choosing something, you are giving up something else. If you choose A, you're sacrificing B. Because there's only one entity that could do multiple things perfectly simultaneously. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Zachar B'Shamar B'Dibur Echad Nemru. Right? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do two things simultaneously. But the rest of us ultimately, again, have to go ahead when we choose one thing, I'm giving something else up. So here the frog is telling David HaMelech, there's always sacrifice. There's incredible self-sacrifice in life, and that is the pinnacle of accomplishment. A willingness to sacrifice on behalf of the greater good, a willingness to sacrifice for something greater than yourself, is the pinnacle not only of human accomplishment, but is the pinnacle of accomplishment in this world. And says the frog, I am the paradigmatic example of that. Every single day, my species is willing to give up of itself to sustain the greater part of creation. So what we have over here so far is our hakdama to Perek Shira, an understanding of the power and profundity of Shira, even though we don't really understand the power and profundity. We see again, at least according to the first opinion, who is the author, who is, so again, I'm sorry, let me finish up the hakdama. The rest of the hakdama is, after David HaMelech has this conversation with the frog, what does he discover? What, right? What was the mind-blowing realization from this conversation with the frog? That nature sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech never knew this before. Before the conversation with the frog, David HaMelech assumed that who is the only person to sing most beautiful, prolific shir to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Him. He thought it was him. The frog tells him, oh, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry. Your shir did a great job. Shkayach and Sefer Tillim, fantastic. But by the way, the rest of the natural world sings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. David HaMelech has this mind-blowing realization, and what does he set out to do? What does he set out to do? To discover what is the song of every part of creation. What does every part of the natural world, the animal kingdom, what is their shira towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This, after he finishes Sefer Tehillim, David embarks on the mission, the sacred life mission of writing Perek Shira. So accordingly to the first approach, the author of Perek Shira is none other than David HaMelech. Perek Shira represented his next project after he finished Sefer Tehillim. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. This will be in discussing Mirat Hashem on Wednesday. We will continue. There is another riveting opinion about who is the author of Perek Shira. We'll go through that opinion, and then Mirat Hashem, hopefully then the following Monday, we'll begin actual Perek Shira. Yeshiva, everyone. Wonderful to meet all of you. Looking forward to having a productive and meaningful semester together.